This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The headline from the Jerusalem Post says Jews worldwide see Israel as their future despite the challenges. Another headline from Israel National News declares 86 years after Kristallnacht, 96% of European Jews experience anti-Semitism. Another from the Russian Times declares Israel must be expelled from the UN. That is the position of Iran and also 100 other UN member countries. What is going on, friends? A Dutch chief rabbi said, "Wake up! A cancer of Jew hate is plaguing Europe." All of this today on Viewpoint, and what is so fascinating is another coming from Israel National News this very day, liberating the world from Jews. That's the headline, liberating the world from Jews. Really, is that going to happen? When Jesus, as the representative of the Father having said that Israel was the apple of his eye, and he's not going to renege on his promises and his covenant to Israel. He's going to bring them into the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, gave the meets and bounds for Israel. But as we speak, things are not looking pretty for Israel in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today is no exception as our special guest, Brian Sanders, joins us with a new film, Why Stand With Israel? Why Stand With Israel? We need to talk with that about that here today on the program because there are many in America, as you know. Look at the nation's colleges and universities that have risen up with gross, unmitigated anti-Semitism such that it even required Congress to get involved. So, Brian Sanders joining us here today with his heart cry for standing with Israel. Brian, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, thank you, Chuck, for having me on your program and get a chance to share with your audience that God's heart for his beloved people and land, he made an everlasting covenant with. And it's a very important topic these days, standing with Israel.
Well, and, it is. You know. No question about it. And the interesting thing is that there are many who believe that, well, we professing Christians, Gentile believers, are the Israel of God, as the Apostle Paul wrote, the Israel of God, and therefore God has reneged any covenant that he may have made with physical Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, physical descendants. And so it leads us to something that's been called replacement theology, that the church actually replaced Israel. But what do you, if that be true, what do you make of the words of God through several of the prophets saying, look, if the sun should cease to shine, and the moon should cease to glow, and the stars should fall from heaven, only on circumstances like that would I renege on my covenant with Israel. Help us understand that.
Well, I mean, the prophets speak with the utterance of what God shares with them. And we know in Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man that should lie or change his mind. Mm-hmm. So if he made an everlasting covenant and promise with a certain people group or even land, that's forever. That's just not for a season. It's eternal. It's forever. That's what our faithful God is all about. He's a faithful God who keeps his covenants, as it says in Deuteronomy 7:9, for 1,000 generations, to those who love him and keep his commandments. And so the 1,000 generations, if you think about how long a generation, that's really eternal. It's everlasting.
Well, it's an expression of that, isn't it? And, thing is that we have this very easygoing idea about how God will put up with professing Christians reneging on him and acting in disobedience to his word, but we don't seem to have that same level of compassion for Israel and just see, well, Israel has reneged its covenant with God, and so they're out of here, and it's all for the Gentile church today.
Yeah, it talks about the, you know, just that quote alone is, as you know, it's a form of ignorance, don't you think? A little bit of arrogance that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 11. He says, do not become arrogant. He's
right.
Talking to the church. As much as, you know, he says, as much as you have been grafted in, you know, I can regraft them. And he's talking about Father God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a lot in the church today that believes that God somehow, I mean, the scripture talks about, he says they were stiff-necked. That doesn't mean that God moved on from them and that, you know, that he's broken any of his covenants and promises with them. And that's what replacement theology is. It's this ideology, this notion that the church believes that God replaced his covenantal people and land with us. And we go around saying, we're the new Israel. We're the new chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Isaiah 54:5 is even clear. This is Father God speaking to his beloved Jewish people. And he says, your maker will be your husband.
Exactly.
And so we go around in the church saying that we are the bride of Christ. But listening to that scripture, it sounds like there's another bride that he betrothed himself to, and that's the Jewish people, the first bride of God.
Well, God even said he married Israel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another proof in the New Testament for the church that only listens to and reads the New Testament. He confirms it with the prophets in Isaiah 54:5. And he confirms it with, and they're in the New Testament as well.
Well, I once had a pastor who said, Brian, that God divorced Israel, when in fact that is true, but he never remarried. He never remarried, and therefore his arm is reached out still as the husband to Israel, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned earlier in the beginning of the show, these loving endearment nicknames like, the apple of my eye. They're also called his treasured possession. He doesn't have any other nicknames or loving and dear nicknames for any other people group or even nation than the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, whom we as Christian Gentiles have been grafted in with them. They were the original first choice. They were the first betrothed bride of God, and we came in because of Jesus Yeshua.
Our only hope, then, is to be grafted in, so then the next question is, can they be grafted out? Well, they could be grafted out, but as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 11, if they could be grafted out, how much more easily could Gentile believers be grafted out? And so if they can be grafted back in, then that's our only hope itself. So all
Absolutely.
Of that having been said, we've laid a firm foundation here for the discussion concerning your film, Why Stand With Israel. Actually, it's more than just a film, isn't it?
Yes, it's actually a film series. This is the first one. We were blessed to internationally release it on Israel's birthday this year, on May 14th.
Mm.
It was a labor of love for about 8.5 years, and with God's incredible timing, Tuesday we were able to release it on Israel's birthday, and if you were to ask me 8.5 years ago that our film would come out in a time when Israel's at war...
Isn't it amazing? What a perfect timing that's going to be in May of 2025. We'll be right back after this, friends, with our friend Brian Sanders, Why Stand With Israel.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And today, our viewpoint concerning Israel is very critical because we want to make sure that our viewpoint lines up with God's viewpoint. And God says, I don't change. I change not. Therefore, what he has declared concerning Israel is not going to change. Now, what does change is what particular group within Israel will ultimately inherit its his ultimate spiritual promises with regard to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But there are other promises that are involved with Israel. One has to do with what is called Eretz Israel, and that is the land of Israel. And God made promises to Abraham. In fact, he actually gave the broad meets and bounds, the legal description of Eretz Israel, or the land of Israel. And what constitutes Israel today, as we know it, is only a small, small portion of that which God has ultimately promised to be the land of Israel that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. And so with that in mind, with our special guest, Brian Sanders, I'd like to devote the next few minutes, Brian, in differentiating between the ultimate spiritual promise and the actual physical promise of the land. Can we do that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think this is one of the reasons why replacement theology has gained so much traction. I had a meal with a pastor recently who basically challenged me concerning, well, why would God be interested in the land of Israel? Ultimately, aren't we looking for the land of promise? Aren't we looking for heaven? So why would Israel itself, the land of Israel, be significant? What would you say?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm actually kind of it's mind-boggling to hear that question he said to you. And my answer is, it all started with Israel, and this is where it's all going to end. If he's a pastor and a minister of the gospel, and he knows God's hearts and his covenants and his laws and his commandments, and he knows where he sent his only son to and mm-hmm. where he's coming back,
right.
I think that would probably answer that question for him. He'd answer his own question.
Well, you would think so, but then your view of eschatology only views his view of eschatology only views one side of the biblical coin concerning Israel.
Right.
One side has to do with ultimate spiritual purposes. The other side has to do with the physical promises of the land and why that is important.
I'm happy to answer that. Well, it's both spiritual and physical in this answer.
Exactly.
Again, it started with Israel, and if you read the end book, even what the prophets talk about, and the end book in Revelation, it talks about where it's all going to end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the Megiddo Valley and Jezreel Valley, where it's right there in Israel, in Haifa, and that's a section called Mukraka. I've been there. I actually filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at what the prophets talked about when the Messiah comes back, it says in Isaiah 2:2-3 that the law shall go forth from Zion. That's in Jerusalem. And
right.
the word from Jerusalem. That's a prophetic picture, a prophetic illustration. When the Messiah comes back,
mm-hmm.
this is where he's going to rule and reign for a thousand years, and that the law will go forth, the word will go forth from there. And it's also known as the city of God, the city of the great king is what Jerusalem is known for.
Right.
And it's also it's a city that bears his name. And you can't make this stuff up. There's a topographical map out there that I've seen, and the borders of Jerusalem is shaped by the Hebrew letter Shin, which is one of the names of God. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is where he's coming back, and when he comes back, it says in Scripture that he's going to come back on the Mount of Olives. That's right there in Jerusalem.
The very place that he ascended from back
exactly.
to the Father is the place he's going to return.
Exactly. That's what the angels told us in the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm.
The same way you saw Jesus leave is the same way you'll see him return. And it says that every eye will see him. Every knee will bow, but every eye will see him coming back. So when he comes back to Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, it says Jerusalem will be split in two. To me, that looks like some major earthquake or something. But he's going to go down into the Kidron Valley, into through the Eastern Gate, which is also known as the Beautiful Gate and the Mercy Gate,
mm-hmm.
and that's where he's going to set up his throne. You know, this is it's the city of the great king.
Right.
This is where he's going to set up his millennial reign, and all the kings and leaders of the world will be subject to the Messiah when he comes back, and the Word. It'll be just the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, I believe all those other religions won't exist after that because the Messiah has come back.
But what they want to do is rule and reign from that very mount, Mount Zion, the Temple Mount. And so what you did not know, Brian, is that a number of years ago I wrote a book called King of the Mountain, The Eternal, Epic, and End Time Battle. For he who rules the Temple Mount is deemed to rule the world. And it traces the entire focus of the Temple Mount from the beginning of creation, even before that, the Mount of God in the heavens where Satan declared he was going to rule and reign and be like the Most High God. And so he declares, I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God, referencing the Temple Mount. Yet the psalmist in Psalm 2 gives one of the most amazing prophecies. David, right there in Psalm 2, says, why do the nations rage? Why do the people imagine a vain and foolish thing? They want to tear Israel's bonds asunder from God. And God says, look, I hear what you're saying, guys. I'm going to put this in the vernacular. I hear what you guys are saying, but you got to understand, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to have you in derision. You're going to be so confused and messed up over your effort to try to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Because what you need to know, friends, is I have already declared and set my king, Yeshua, on my holy hill. So what is it about you guys that you don't get it? You might just consider you should probably kiss the son that is Jesus. You probably should do that and embrace him, because if you don't, it ain't going to be pretty for you. That's my synthesized version in the vernacular of Psalm 2.
Very good. You know, actually, Psalm 2 is that scripture you talked about, Psalms 2, 1 through verse 4. That's going to be our third film, based on Psalm 2 right there. Why do the nations rage? They've been raging against Israel since the days of Pharaoh. And then we had all these regimes and dictators. Where are they? They're all gone except for this small little problem called the rod, which we know that the Lord will take care of. Mm. And it's just, and then we're going to look into the destiny, the prophetic destiny of Israel, what God has ordained and destined for his beloved covenantal land, that he says, this is my land. And he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. But to go on that point with that other pastor, you know, I don't want to come across crass, but it sounds like there's a little replacement theology in his questioning.
Well, he would deny that because I've accused him of that. Oh, I don't believe in replacement theology. I just believe in fulfillment theology is what he says.
You can put a sticker on it any way you want to look at it. Supersessionism, replacement theology. It's a little anti-Semitic, and possibly you can go there as well, but you know, God made an everlasting covenant with Israel and the Jewish people, and there's no other people, group, or land he made an everlasting covenant with them, beside them. It's just that we're blessed as Gentile believers to be grafted in. That's the privilege and honor we have of being in the family of God, in that olive tree description that Apostle Paul says in Romans 11. But to also go back to that conversation with him and what you were mentioning before, you know, I mean, look what Zechariah 12 says. It says the nations are going to come up against Israel, and I think we're seeing a little form of that today.
Oh, we're not seeing just a little form. The whole United Nations now has decreed Israel is the odd man out.
No, I totally agree. I mean, we see it with their enemies barbarically, horrifically attacking them after on October 7th, which is mind-boggling that the church is still silent, a majority of the church, that is silent toward their brothers and sisters that they have been grafted in with. We were silent during the Holocaust, and it's really unheard of and baffling that we're still silent to a family member that's been brutally, barbarically attacked. We're turning a blind eye. How come our churches aren't praying for Israel? How come we're not even praying for the peace of Jerusalem? You know, a family member that has been assaulted or barbarically killed or raped or murdered or abused doesn't turn a blind eye. You know, we're supposed to be outspoken for those that don't have a voice in this season.
All right. I want to approach that, respond to that particular issue, Brian. Again, we're talking with Brian Sanders, who is the CEO, executive producer, and director of the Why Stand With Israel film series. Brian, how would people be able to access and view this series?
Well, thank you. Right now, we have one, the first film out, Why Stand With Israel. We have about 12 or 13 more we want to do. We're going to begin working on the next one in early next year. You can just simply go to our website, whystandwithisrael.com, and that's all spelled out.
Uh-huh.
And if they want to hear any updates about our future films, they can simply follow us on our Facebook page, Why Stand With Israel Facebook page. But on our website, we have some products. We have a digital download that they can download right to their devices.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have available a DVD for them to purchase as well. And so we're in the process of translating our film in almost every language. It's been translated in Indonesian or Spanish, Romanian,
Wow. And
Arabic translation.
This is a big deal.
Another week. Yeah, well, the gospel's for everybody, and we believe to reach our target audience, the global church,
mm-hmm.
we have to get it in their language so they can see God's heart on display for his beloved people on land. He made it.
All right, if somebody wants to get a hold of this DVD, what is the cost? They get it right there off of your website, whystandwithisrael.com?
Sure, yes. They can purchase our DVDs for $25, and our digital downloads are for $22.
Okay, and how long are each one of these segments? Are they about the same length or what?
It's the same length. They're an hour and 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, so they're not just small little things. They're significant.
Well, we cover a lot of topics to answer the question, why stand mm-hmm. with Israel? And even though in our title there's no question mark, we look at it as more as a statement. It shouldn't be up for debate. It mm-hmm. really shouldn't. We have a person in our film by the name of Dr. Wayne Hilsden. If we say we love God and we love his word,
mm-hmm.
we need to be standing with everything that God loves and who he made an everlasting covenant with. And it's clear from Genesis to Revelation how much he loves the Jewish people and the nation of Israel.
Well, that brings up a whole new subject, Brian. And I know your mind and your heart are just rolling with passion here for this. But I want to make sure that we cover every aspect of this.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to my conversation with the pastor.
Yes, sir.
He says, well, why would God be interested and why should we be interested in, shall we say, blessing a people who are reneging upon God? The majority of the Jewish people, in fact, there are only about 12 to 14,000 professing believers in Yeshua in Israel right now. And so why would we support, why would we encourage, why would we bless a people who are not necessarily godly, in fact, who are in many respects very ungodly? Why would we do that? What would you say?
Well, you know, I would say no nation on planet Earth is perfect, or people group.
Including the U.S.
Including us here in the U.S. We are not perfect by any means. But God is a, you know, we hear this saying that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
show partiality over one. And I get this all the time. And we actually discuss this in our film because it's a common topic wherever I speak and share. So I said, well, you know, let's look at what the promises of God. You know, yes, it's true. It says it in Scripture that he is not a respecter of persons or shows partiality.
However, he also says all the nations.
God.
He also said all the nations are as a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, right. Well, but he's also a sovereign God whom he makes an everlasting covenant with. It's like I said before, it's forever. It's eternal. And so if we do say we love God and we love his word, that should supersede any other worldview that we have. If
mm-hmm.
we cherish his word and what he says, if we believe everything that he breathes into the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, because it says all scripture is breathed by God.
Mm-hmm.
If we believe all of that.
All right, so we need doubt, to translate that. The problem is, the problem, Brian, is that a lot of people say, well, yeah, I do. I believe the Bible from cover to cover and the cover, too. They just have a very different viewpoint, and it seems like it's inconsistent with God's viewpoint. We'll be right back after this, friends. Why Stand With Israel? More to come.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Again, friends, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Our viewpoint does determine destiny, is very, very significant with regard to the matter of Israel, our attitude toward Israel. And attitude is a big thing. In fact, Jesus, right there in Matthew chapter 5, gave us the be attitudes, or the attitudes of being. God is just as concerned about our attitudes as he is our actions, because our attitudes actually are what drives our actions. So, let's go back to this subject that we were talking about with our guest, Brian Sanders, with his film, Why Stand With Israel. The pastor that I had the chat with says, you know, Israel, basically, the Jewish people in Israel are not obeying God. Most of them are not even God-fearing. The Orthodox are, the Haredim are, but for most part, the majority are not God-fearing. So why should we be concerned about that? Well, here is my answer. My answer, Brian, was God had has his viewpoint toward Israel. He chose them. He did not choose them because they were the greatest, the most significant, the most powerful, or any of those reasons. He said, I chose you because I, as God, chose you. Therefore, right. We want to align, I want to align my viewpoint with God's viewpoint. They're chosen. Now, are they not lining up with God's chosenness and his expectations? True, they're not. So is that my responsibility to change my attitude toward them? No, my responsibility as a true Gentile believer is to share God's attitude toward them. And if there's to be any correction, any judgment, that's God's business, not my business. What say you?
I 100% agree with that. Spot on. I think we talked earlier about replacement theology. And I believe it's a culprit of our biblical worldview that's not lining up with God's ordained scriptures. Mm-hmm. In particular, I actually came out of replacement theology over a decade ago.
Really?
And with that, this film and film series has been birthed out of that. And I was covering President Obama's only visit to Israel at the time with the Christian Broadcasting Network. And after he left, I had a really good, healthy theological debate with my friend. And afterwards, he said to me, you know what, you might have some replacement theology in you. And to be quite honest, Chuck, I had no idea what that was. I wondered if I add or subtract it from God's word that Scripture tells us not to do.
Right.
Did I take God's word out of context like a lot of us do, or did I speak in error of God's word? And then when he shared the truth of what that was, the Holy Spirit quickened and confirmed that I had replacement theology. So I immediately repented from that, and then I realized I wasn't alone. I stumbled on this survey that Lifeway Christian Research blessed us with, and it shows how much a majority of the church is riding the fence on where they stand with Israel. Mm-hmm. And I really look at that as replacement theology being the culprit of that. Because in Scripture, in Romans 11, it says that, you know, God says that there's a partial, Apostle Paul says there's a partial blindness over Israel. I believe there's a partial blindness in the church.
I would say there's a major blindness over the church, and it doesn't just have to do with Israel.
Yeah.
It has to do with our willingness to obey God. In fact,
exactly.
Exactly.
We have basically almost abandoned the fear of the Lord in evangelical Christianity
as much
as the Jewish people have.
I totally agree. And going to your point about the people of Israel, they're not God-fearing. You have the Haredi, the ultra-Orthodox that believe in God. But, you know, there's a misconception about Israel. And we defunct and refute a lot of the lies against Israel and the Jewish people in our film, not just biblically, but historically and geopolitically, because there's a lot out there. And we had to address that to answer why stand with Israel. Maybe you're skeptic or you're not sure. Maybe you're riding the fence with Israel. Well, we hope to combat that or at least educate the truth of why God chose Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so with some of these misconceptions, you know, Israel, for the most part, is a secular country. It's known as the Holy Land. Well, that, I believe, is just really Jerusalem and certain other parts in the land. But for the most part, Israel is a secular country.
Well, therein lies, Brian, one of the major battles in Israel today. It's exactly the same. It's analogous to the battle we have in this country. We have the battle of blue states against red states politically. We have the battle against a 60% to 70% secular nation here compared to about 40% professing Christians in this country. The same thing exists there in Israel. So we're not all that different than Israel, but we think we are, and yet there are only two countries in the world that would seem to have a covenant with God basis for the very existence of their people, and that's Israel and the United States.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. God made an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people and the nation of Israel.
And not with America, by the way.
No, well, our founding fathers actually made a covenant and dedicated our land to God.
Right.
So we have that in common. I mean, God
exactly.
made a covenant with us. We made a covenant with him. He made a covenant with the Jewish people in the nation of Israel. And so, yeah, we have these things in common. And, you know, I think we're going to be judged as a nation on how we vote and as believers of what we believe in, because Scripture is abundantly clear. You know, there's the sheep nations and the goat nation.
Mm-hmm.
What we believe as a nation and who we stand with, if we turn our backs toward Israel, well, Genesis 12:3 is abundantly clear. If we bless Israel, we will be blessed. If we don't, we'll be cursed. There's a repercussion in place. And then there's the, as believers, are we going to be a church that is known as a sheep church or a goat church? Are we going to believe everything that God ordained in his word? Or are we going to allow something else to supersede our biblical worldview or sway our biblical worldview, for that matter, than what God ordained?
Well, you know what I think, Brian? I think our problem isn't a worldview. Our problem is a God view.
Absolutely.
That's really what our problem is. Because
absolutely.
We don't agree with God. We're superimposing our human viewpoint over, why should we continue to bless Israel? Why should we continue to have an attitude of blessing toward Israel when Israel is 60% or more secular and almost none, only about 12,000 to 15,000 actually have received Yeshua as Savior and Lord? So why would we do that? Well, it's because we want to align ourselves with God's viewpoint. If they are out of line with his viewpoint, that's up to him. Our job is to be in alignment with God's viewpoint toward them. What say you?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. You know, we talked about earlier what Numbers 23:19 says, that God is not a man that should lie or change his mind. Look, us humans in the flesh, we change our mind constantly, but we are called to line our biblical worldview with God's ordained word. If he stands with them, it doesn't matter what we believe or think, whether it fits our biblical narrative or not. If God loves them and made an everlasting covenant with them and has all these promises for them and their prophetic destiny, regardless of what we think, we need to be standing what God ordained and what he said.
Well, we also know from Zechariah that two-thirds of all Israel are going to lose their lives. Now, people say, well, why would you want to bring them back to Israel, to the land Eretz Israel? and rabbis there in Israel who say, oh, you evangelicals just want to help bring us back so we could be killed and destroyed under Zechariah chapter 13. Well, obviously, they don't even believe their own Tanakh because they don't want to believe what God has said. On the other hand, one-third of the Jewish people are going to survive, and it's a remnant. They're going to, at one time, Zechariah 13, 14, and so on, they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced and weep for him, that is, Yeshua, Jesus, as his their only son, and thereby all real Israel, the Israel of God, will be saved. Not all Jewish people, but all those who embrace Yeshua as the Israel of God. Do you agree?
Absolutely, absolutely. But there's a prophetic part as us Christian Gentiles have to play, and it's called Aliyah, and that means to go up. And it's in Isaiah 49:22, and we discussed this in our film, and it's where the Gentiles, the Lord beckons the Gentiles. That's us, those that weren't born Jewish or those that weren't born Israel. And I say that in the beginning of the film because I'm one of them as well. And so this Aliyah that we are get to partake in prophecy in Isaiah 49:22. It says that the Gentiles will carry their sons on their arms and their daughters on their shoulders. So we get a chance to partake in prophecy to bring the diaspora Jews back home to their the land that God gave them.
And that's our responsibility. God's responsibility is to purify their hearts, just as he's having to deal with Gentile believers who are reneging on him and dissing his word, his will, and his ways in rebellion. We've got the same problem in God's house. We've got the same problem in the church today as Israel has, and we better not look pridefully at our own situation, or we're going to be even in double trouble. So that's something we should be concerned about. I want to talk more about the Aliyah thing after this upcoming break. The film series, Why Stand With Israel? You can go to whystandwithisrael.com and connect in with what Brian Sanders and his group are doing. I do believe, Brian, that this is a very important series that you're doing. And quite frankly, I'm wondering how you're able to finance it.
Well, God's timing is perfect. And as we know, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. All the beasts in the forest and fields is his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And the silver and gold, he says, are mine.
Yeah.
We pray and we trust God. This is his. This is his film series. And, you know, we pray over every topic, every angle, every subject, every name of the film. And and we believe he'll bless it when we're obedient. And we've seen some great reports. You know, pastors and churches are that have maybe never stood with Israel, never even prayed for Israel, are now doing that. We've been blessed to win 16 film awards. And you know, we believe the church is waking up. We've had
sounds great
screenings.
We've got it going right into a break here. The man with passion, Brian Sanders, no question about it. Friends, we'll be right back to talk more about Aliyah to go up.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Earlier this year, the chief rabbi, Jewish rabbi in France, said, you must get out of France while you have time. You must get back to the homeland. You must make Aliyah.
back to Israel to go up to Jerusalem. Now, the Dutch chief rabbi is basically saying the same thing. Because of the massive anti-Semitism being shown just in this last week there in Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands. In addition to that, the United Nations now is basically declaring Israel the odd man out, and a number of nations, in fact, 100 nations actually are taking steps to try to have Israel actually removed from the United Nations. That's 196 nations representing by far the majority of the nations on the planet. Now, with that attitude, friends, can you understand why the Jewish people might just, in spite of the prosperity in America, in spite of the relative prosperity in Europe, might just be saying, you know what? Our time has come. We got to get out of here. So the Jerusalem Post, just on November 8th, came out with this. A surge in Aliyah. Jews worldwide see Israel as their future despite the challenges. A unique moment of Aliyah marked by a strong and growing desire among Jews worldwide to move to Israel. Why is this important, Brian?
Well, you know, it's amazing the times we're living in. I look forward to when we get a chance to be in glory with the Lord and speak to the prophets when they said they long to see these things. And one of my questions would be, what was it this time? Because, you know, God's people, it seems like they're being more persecuted like we've never seen before. Not since the Holocaust have we seen such persecution and anti-Semitism.
Right.
And yet the church is still silent. And I believe after October 7th, and even what we're seeing on the college campuses in the United States and worldwide, and what happened just a week ago in Amsterdam, it was almost on the anniversary of Kristallnacht.
Yes.
And even the chief rabbi of France saying it's time for the Jews to leave here. And even the chief rabbi in Amsterdam, well, that's saying something.
Well, it is.
And to me, I think as we go deeper in these end times, and not just the United Nations, it's the European Union, it's Amnesty International. We talk about all these things in the film of these three international councils delegitimizing Israel on a daily basis that they've been doing for decades. And even coming against Israel saying that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the former defense minister Yoav Gallant committing war crimes when they're just trying to defend their nation after that horrific barbaric attack on October 7th. And it's not surprising because the UN is very consistent. They've been very anti-Semitic these last couple decades. I mean, probably even longer than that. And it's sad to see that we're seeing. Well, it's not sad. It's probably right on time because Zechariah 12 talks about the nations coming against Israel.
Exactly.
That Jerusalem will be a stumbling block, you know. And so, and this thing that they talk about dividing Israel for this two-state solution, which goes against Joel 3:2,
mm-hmm.
that do not divide my land.
Right.
And so,
and the
God
nations are
going to
be judged in the Valley of Jehoshaphat for how they parted God's land. So
absolutely,
all of these things are happening, and they're happening. You could say in spades now. It goes back to leading up to the Balfour Declaration in 1917 that laid the foundation for
the
state of Israel in 1948. We have the pogrom or pogroms coming out of Russia that delivered a million Jewish people out of Russia through the air flights into Israel. And now we're seeing a modicum of that happening, but it's increasingly. For instance, in Argentina, just recently, the economic forces there turned so sour that Jewish people were beginning to make Aliyah again from Argentina. It's going to happen in the United States. There are about 5.5 million Jews remaining in the United States, and we know that there's going to be a turn. Well, have we seen some turning? Absolutely. Just look what's happened with our nation's colleges and universities and the massive anti-Semitism there. Leaders within those universities stirring up the people to hate Israel. Why is that? What is it going on going back? Well, if you go back to Numbers chapter, 4:24, you find Balaam, that prophet, who finally decided to agree with God's viewpoint concerning Israel. And right. God said to him, look, Israel is not going to be reckoned among the nations. Israel is not going to be reckoned among the nations. Israel is my people, God said, and I do not care that they be reckoned among the nations. But isn't that exactly what Peter said in his epistle when he said, you are a holy nation, a holy people that should show forth the glory of God, and you're called out ones. We're called out ones, just like Israel is a called out people. And ultimately, there will be a remnant of Israel and a remnant of Gentiles, even a remnant of professing Christian Gentiles, because the reality is there's only going to be a remnant. Not everyone who says unto me, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of my Father. And that seems to be missed in our churches today. We don't like that theology.
No, we don't. We want to mold the Bible to fit our narrative and our biblical worldview and our way of life.
Yeah.
You know, if God said it, and in our eyes, that might say, well, that might be debatable. I mean, look what we did with his Moedim, his biblical feast, right there in Leviticus 23. And I don't mean to seem crass, but when we say we are going to our Sabbath, we'll take it during the middle of the week. I've heard people say, I'm going to take my Sabbath on a Wednesday. And I said, oh, are you going to celebrate the Lord's Sabbath as well? I mean, there's ordained time. Moedim, when he chose when the Sabbath, the Shabbat, when it's supposed to be celebrated.
Leviticus 23, it's very clear.
Very clear. And, like, look, and here's another example. And we talked about the church, is what Constantine did and how he changed some of the times and seasons. And
right.
He did to persecute the Jewish people. And it all goes back to, are we really following God's word? Because if we really think about it, a majority of the church, they're following some of the things that Constantine changed. And, you know, I feel like not just as a church, but also as a nation, how we treat Israel, how we stand with God's word and stand with his people, we're going to be judged. It's as simple as that.
Both Jew and Gentile, God is calling both Jew and Gentile, the Apostle Paul said, calling them both into judgment because we have all sinned and come short of his glory, including professing Christians who, if we do not repent and come clean with God, we're going to find ourselves judged with unrepentant Israel as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jew and Gentile is based on, it's called the one new man in Ephesians.
Exactly.
2, where the Lord, where the separation of the wall has been separated from Jew and Gentile in Messiah coming together to honor the Messiah. That's what the one new man is all about. And that's going to be one of our films down the road in the 12-13 film series that we plan on producing.
Brian, six months ago, Tamar Yonah, the premier English-speaking communicator on behalf of Orthodox Jewish Judaism in the world, joined me on my radio program, Viewpoint, to talk about anti-Semitism and other things that were going on. And here's what she said. She said, Chuck, anti-Semitism is growing now among the Jewish people. But mark my words, she said, as it is with the Saturday people, soon it will be with the Sunday people. In other words, persecution. Now, you alluded to that earlier, but what you did not know, Brian, is that my 11th book just came out on September 1st called When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It's all about what this is leading up to is the same level of persecution against professing Christians. And just as anti-Semitism is calling out the Jewish people, so persecution will cull out, not call out, but cull out those who profess to be followers of Christ, but who will abandon their profession because of fear and will embrace the Antichrist.
Yeah, well, it's really separating the tares from the wheat.
There it is.
If we're really for God and his word, we'll stand strong. And the Holy Spirit can strengthen us and to lean on God's word
because it's faithful. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides through the joint and marrow. And if we lean and trust on God's word and the promises, if he's faithful with Israel through all these centuries, since the beginning of time, since he made that everlasting covenant with Israel and the Jewish people, he'll be faithful for us, that those who keep his commandments and his word and his promises. And to go back on what you were saying before, I wanted to share in 2000, I mean, right
make
after
it, make 7, it quick.
Sure. After October 7th, we were 90% finished with our film. And so at the time, I was able to lay the film down, put it on pause to go to Israel and cover the war. And I was helping my good friends at the Christian Broadcasting Network tell some of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed a Jewish lady. And after we were done interviewing her, her and her family they left Gaza and they were Christians, put them up in nice, beautiful hotels in Jerusalem. As soon as we turned the cameras off, she looked at me and she said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a believer in Yeshua Jesus." And she said, "Do not be mistaken." She looked me right in the eye, Chuck, and she said, "Do not be mistaken. They came after us. They're coming after you next."
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had the camera rolling. It was like a prophetic, like, charge. Like,
yeah.
Wake up, church. You're next. They came after us. They're coming after you.
Well, that's why we need to be ready. God wants to get the Jewish people ready. One of those means is to bring them back to fulfill his physical covenant promise to restore them to Eretz Israel, the land of promise. Some people will say, well, if they would all come back, there's no room for them in Israel. Well, guess what? This very day, the news came out because of the election of Trump that they are looking to actually now grant sovereignty to the West Bank to open up increasingly the space for Aliyah, the Jewish people, to make their way home. So all of these things, God is not a man that he would lie. He's working behind the scenes, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we want to make sure that our own minds and hearts, as professing Christians, are also in alignment, that we're not as much out of alignment. We need a spiritual chiropractor to come in and adjust the sin and rebellion out of our own lives, just as we look to see it in the eyes of the Jewish people. Brian, I'm so grateful that you have joined us here. Your website, whystandwithisrael.com, and people can access the first video right there, can't they?
Yes, we have a digital download available, and we also have a DVD available for them to purchase. And we hope to have some more translations finished in the next week. So our goal is to translate it in practically every language so the global church can grasp and see God's heart on display for his covenantal people and land.
It would seem to me that one of the uses for that would be for people to bring it in, show it in their homes with small groups, for pastors to use it, to show it in their congregations, to get the message out as rapidly as possible.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears, and what we've been hearing from some of our film reviews, and that we're going to have a study guide. Pastors, Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, Bible study leaders want to facilitate. They say you unpack a lot of information here, and I'd love to teach this to our discipleship classes. And so we hope to have something like that early next year.
Well, that would be a beautiful thing. That would be a very beautiful thing. Friends, you've been listening to Viewpoint. We're confronting the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. Yes, even today. This has to do with our hearts and homes, not just Israel, because we want to line up with God's heart, don't we? A big thank you to Brian Sanders for joining us, and become a partner, friends. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Become a partner. Do it today. Don't delay. The other guy's not doing it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and go to whystandwithisrael.com and make sure you connect in there so that we can be partners together for this ultimate purpose. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.